Well, hey, open up your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. Oh, I sure did enjoy Sunday circles this morning. Sunday circles this morning, we talked about living the dream. Living the dream, how that God gives us dreams and He brings birth desires in our heart. You know, you may think that you want to do something, that it might be God that wants you to do that. You may think that you want to, thinking something, but God plants seeds of His desire in our life. He plants dreams in our heart. God gives us His desires, Psalms 37:4 says. And so, we learned this morning that not only does God bring birth to dreams, but sometimes we have to surrender our dreams to God. Sometimes what we think God wanted, we have to put on an altar. We have to, put them back into God's hands. Because even everything that God gives us, it all belongs to God. And sometimes we don't understand the road we're going down to get to where God wants us. You know, God might say to us, this is what I want for your life, but all of a sudden life takes a difficult turn or goes a different direction than what we expected. You know, sometimes God has to lead us through something to get us to something. Sometimes the road that God has for us takes us through somewhere we don't want to go to get us to somewhere God wants us to be. It happens that way. The children of Israel, for example, coming out of the land of Egypt, going to the land of Canaan, do you know that they didn't necessarily like the desert? They didn't like that God took them all the way around the land of Edom. Why? Because God did not want them to fight with their brothers. God did not want them to cause more problems on the way to their promised land. And so God led them around. And the Bible says the children of Israel were much wearied because of the way which the Lord led them. It was the will of God. God took them through the wilderness to get them to the promised land. As I said before, sometimes God takes us through something we don't want to go through to get us to something that He wants us to enjoy. That's life. Well, it so happened that was the way as well with some men that Jesus chose to be with Him. Jesus chose 12 disciples to be with Him and to send them out to preach. And then Jesus began to spread His ministry a little farther and also even brought along another 70 disciples and taught them and sent them out to teach for Him into places He would later go. And then Jesus included so many more under the umbrella of His blessing by feeding more than 5,000 men besides the women and children with fish and loaves. He healed the multitude. He cast out devils. He raised the dead. Jesus invested himself in a lot of lives. And everyone expected that this man of miracles, this man who could walk on water, this man who could calm the storm, this man who could break a few loaves of bread and a few fish and feed multitudes. Everyone expected that this one, Jesus, everyone expected that this one who could raise the dead, this one who could open the heavens and a voice would come and identify Him as the Son of God. Everyone expected that He would become King of the earth. That's what they expected. They expected Him, something to happen, and Him to step up on the throne of Israel in Jerusalem and begin to rule and reign and begin to set the children of Israel, begin to set the Jews free. Everyone expected that when Messiah came, that Messiah would absolutely set the record straight, get up on the throne and rule. You know, as the Jews studied the prophecies concerning Messiah, it would perplex them often because they would see two different messiahs. They would see one messiah, but two pictures of this messiah, two facets. One appeared to be a suffering messiah. As Isaiah prophesied, He would be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace would be upon Him, and that they would lay stripes upon Him, and it's by His stripes that we would be healed, and all we like sheep would turn away from Him, and God would lay on Him the iniquity of us all. They saw a suffering Messiah, but yet they longed for a reigning Messiah. They longed for a Messiah who would become King and would set them free. They wondered, are there two different? No, it was one. But in that day, as it is in any day, as it is in your day and my day, when we are suffering, when we are being persecuted, when we are hurting, when we are sick or afflicted or don't have money or we're going through a difficult relationship or things just aren't working out for us, when we're sad and depressed and worried and hurt and angry and feel as though that life has not served us fair, we often don't want to hear that things could get worse before they get better. We often don't want to hear that it might be a little farther down the road. We often don't want to hear the message that sometimes you have to go through something to get to something. We don't often like to have that message told us. So here the children of Israel, even these 12 men that Jesus had chosen, they were desirous of Jesus getting crowned as king. And that's what they expected. They never expected Jesus to be arrested, to be crucified, to die, to be buried in a tomb. And when that happened, when the man that they were following, when the one that they had attached their life to, when Jesus ended up being arrested and crucified and died and was buried, all of their hope was lost. All of their hope was gone. Because what they had thought was going to happen, and the way they thought it would happen, the road they expected to take at every turn looked like no longer existed. It looked like this dream they had would never live. It looked like to them they had been wrong all along. They had been wrong to believe this. It looked like to them they had bet on the wrong horse. It looked like to them it just wasn't going to happen. It was a good idea. It sure would have been nice, but it's just not going to happen. They never expected God to resurrect Jesus. They didn't even believe it when it happened. In the book of Acts, in chapter 1, we're right at the point here where Jesus has been resurrected, and it's been right at 40 days. In fact, it has been 40 days since he was resurrected. And Jesus has shown himself alive by many, many, many proofs to more than 500 people. He had proved himself to be the risen Messiah. And so now you can imagine what they expected. I mean, when Jesus was walking on earth and they thought he was Messiah, in his ministry, they expected him to be king. But he was crucified, dead, buried. But now that he's resurrected, and now that he's able just to appear in rooms with locked doors and beyond locked doors, and now that he's still, you know, able to do all these miracles and showing himself alive, now you know what they expected? They expected the very same thing. They expected him to become king and to set them free. This was about as far as their thoughts would go. Often that's about as far as our thoughts go. Get me out of this and get me out of this now. God, help me. Help me now. That's about as far as our thoughts go. You know, now are you going to do it? Do it now? Do it now? Do it now? That's about as far sometimes as people can imagine. They can't imagine any reason why God would wait to do something wonderful for them. It's because God has a plan. Amen? And we can trust God with our future. We can trust God with our now. We can trust God with our dreams. We can trust God when we're disappointed. We can trust God when we're going through tragedy or difficulty. We can trust God that even though we may be going around something, that God still has a plan for our life. That's why this is written in there, to show us that these were just men. Jesus chose them. They were the best he had. He was planning on building his kingdom through them, just like he is you and me. Okay? But they had the wrong idea, because what they wanted, what they expected, was true. It is true. He will set up his kingdom. They just expected it to happen right then, and they had a lot of reasons why. So after 40 days after his resurrection, we get to, oh, let's see. Let's just go to verse 6. You need to read the whole thing, okay? My testimony took up too much time this morning. So you read chapter 1, chapter 2, you'll know what we're talking about here. Verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together, now here's the 12, well, the 11 plus Matthias, no, he's not here yet, but the probably more than the 12, okay? But here they are minus Judas and probably a few more people. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Jesus and said to him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? This is what they had on their mind. Get us out of this. Get us out of this hellhole we call life. You going to take care of this? You going to deliver us now? And look what Jesus said to them in verse 7. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, listen, I've got something more important to talk to you about. I've always had something a little more important to talk to you about than just what you think. I've always had something bigger on my plate than you could imagine. I've already always had something that I was working that you have no idea the part you play. You can't understand. This is not about you. You're a player in something that's so much bigger, that lasts so much longer, that is so much a part of God's plan. You are one cog in this huge generational wheel, generation after generation after generation. Who knows when God is going to do what only God can do? Who knows? God has reserved that to his own time. Jesus said, I can't even tell you when I'm coming back, but God has reserved that. It's not for you to know. Would you get your mind off of just, you know, making yourself a little more comfortable? Would you get your mind off of, the things that you think God should do and should do now? And realize that it's not for you to know. Let me ask you a question. When's God going to deliver you? When's God going to heal you? When's God going to, when's God going to make you prosperous? When is God going to do anything for you? When God gets good and ready is when. Now put that in your pipe and smoke it, okay? You're just going to have to deal with that. I'm a faith man, okay? 100% absolutely believe with all of my heart that Jesus is coming back. When? I don't know. When? I don't. Only God knows. I believe God will help me out of every dilemma. He'll always give me the victory. He'll always cause me to triumph in Christ Jesus. Yes, 100%. I believe I am the healed, not the sick. I am above only and not beneath. I believe that every weapon that is formed against me shall not prosper, and I can condemn every word that's spoken against me. I believe I abide in him, and his words abide in me. I can ask what I will, and it shall be done. I believe God's a healer. I believe God's a deliverer. I believe God's a good God, and he has a plan for my life. When is he going to do it? Don't know. The when is just not written in the book. But by faith I have. By faith, now faith is the substance of things I hope for and the evidence of things not seen. Amen? By faith I receive. By faith, I know I am accepted in the Beloved, and I can boldly come to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find help so that I can help others in their hour of need. I believe the Word of God. It is true, every word, sacred, holy, powerful, and true. And I love it when I see it manifest. And I see it manifest all the time. Do you look around? I looked around this morning and said to God through tears right over there while we were worshiping, God, you have been good to us. God, you have been so good to us. I made up a song and just sang it to the Lord during worship today just about how good God has been. He will never let you down. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's a good God. He is a wonderful God. He loves you. He cares about you. He gave His own Son for your life. My goodness, He's not going to forget you, nor one promise that He's made you. Not one promise will fall to the ground, rootless or fruitless. Almighty God will keep His word. He's not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Has He said and will He not do it? Has He spoken and shall He not make it good? Behold, He has given commandment to bless. He has blessed, and you cannot reverse it. Neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things past. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Amen. Yea, in all these things we are more than conquerors. He daily loads us with benefits, and I will not forget all of His benefits and all of His blessings. He forgives my iniquities. Amen. He covers me with His loving kindness and His tender mercies. Don't forget the Lord, how good He is. Wow. He has a plan for our life. It may not happen the way we want it. It may not happen when we want it. But God has a plan, and if we keep giving it to it, He'll fix even what we mess up. He'll work on what we mess up, and He'll hand us back His very best for us. God's a good God. Amen. Lord, will you at this time, well, now, Jesus, now are you finally going to go up there and you know, thump that emperor on the head and thump the king and get him off the throne? And now are you finally going to take charge and make some sense out of all this craziness? Jesus said, that's not for you to know. God only knows when God's going to do what God wants to. But. Everybody say, but. I'll try not to say what I said last week, okay? Doesn't that seem like a long time ago? Everybody say, but. But. Next verse. You shall receive power. I don't know. You may not get what you want today, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And here's what you need to do while you're waiting on God to do what you want Him to do. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Now get busy doing what you're supposed to do and let God do what only God can do. Amen. You know, I'm not really a preacher. I'm a teacher. I'm not the, but I've done gone to preaching. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Well, you know, Jesus had something different He wanted to do and something different He wanted to talk about than just what they wanted. And He had something more important on His mind. And so we find that happening in Acts chapter 2. Let's just jump over there real quick, okay? Because this is what God does. When it's least expected. When you didn't know it was going to happen. When perhaps you've even relegated yourself to the idea that you might have missed it. And you're sitting somewhere in the dark in a closet by yourself, withdrawn, wondering, you know, if it's ever going to happen. Acts 2 verse 2. Ooh, I like those first few words, don't you? And suddenly, oh, I love the fact that when it comes God's timing, God's not a bit embarrassed. He's not shy. He's not timid. He just steps up to the plate and goes, boom, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the place where they were sitting. My God, suddenly. Well, how and why do these things happen? Because God has a plan. If you would notice, after Jesus was caught up in heaven, they went back into a house along about verse 14 of chapter 1. Bring that up. Look what it says they were doing. You know? They continued in one accord They stayed in unity. They stayed together. They didn't get fussed. They didn't get aggravated, irritated. They stayed together in prayer and supplication. They even let some women pray with them. They were together. You need to be. You don't need to be worried. You don't need to run off mad. No, no. You just need to keep on trusting God. Get you some prayer partners, okay? Keep on trusting God and stay in unity. You see, because that's what verse 1 says. They were still in unity a week later. Verse 1 of chapter 2. Bring that up. Chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were still in one accord. They were still in one place. They were still in unity. How important it is for us to stay together in prayer, expecting that God will do what only God can do when God gets ready to do it. But for right now, I'm going to take what He's given me and I'm going to let my light shine for Him. I'm going to do exactly what Philippians says. You remember Philippians 4? You remember verse 6 in the New Living Translation? Let's say it all together. Ready? Everybody? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and then thank Him for everything He's done. Amen? Wow. All right. Won't you stand? Today, I want to encourage you that to know and believe that you have a suddenly in your future. You have several suddenlies in your future. The word of God's going to come to pass. The will of God's going to be done. And no doubt it'll be a suddenly. You know, we can't manufacture God. We can't make it happen. God shows up when He gets good and ready. His presence makes the difference. And suddenly, God came on the scene. Suddenly, when Jesus showed up, everything changed. But that's a suddenly. Suddenly, the Bible says, the Lord shall come to His temple. Suddenly. Suddenly. You know, expect God to change something suddenly. Just expect it to happen. Okay? Trust Him. Until then, you're here this morning and you're in the middle of a dilemma, in the middle of a long road you didn't want to be on. It. You know, listen, it's not what you're going through, what you're going to that matters. I know you don't want to hear that when you're in the middle of something. I understand that. But let me tell you what you can do. You can receive power today. You can receive the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and you can be a witness. You can be a testimony to what God will do. Just give Him time, give him space, okay? And keep staying together and keep praying together and keep trusting God and see what God will put back in your path that this world or circumstances, situations took away or maybe even you destroyed. See what God will do. Amen? You guys can go ahead and come on up, all right? Let's bow our heads. Let's just pray right now and ask God to seal this word in our heart. Lord God, we just ask You, Lord, to seal this word in our heart, Lord, that we might trust You with the suddenlies, Lord. It's not always about what we think, Lord, or the way we think it should be, Lord. And God, sometimes we get disappointed. Sometimes we feel alone, Lord. We, however, can always trust Your word. You will never leave us, never forsake us. Your word, Lord, is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, Lord. You have magnified Your word even above all Your name, Lord. It is Your word, Your covenant, Lord. You will not break, nor will You alter the thing that has gone out of Your lips. Lord, You set before us an opportunity, Lord, to choose, Lord, and we choose You. We choose to trust You, Lord. We choose to surrender to You, Lord. We choose to trust You, Lord, even with the dreams and the desires so precious to us, Lord. We lay them back in Your hands, God, and say, Lord, You, sir, You and Your timing, Lord, You bring Your will to pass. And until then, Lord, we will just be found serving You, Lord. That's our commitment, Lord. We'll just let our light shine, Lord. We'll just serve You. We're a piece to a puzzle we cannot imagine. Lord, God, we just want to fit with ease. Lord, give us grace. Give us peace, Lord. And God, please, Jesus, come now. That's our desire. Jesus, have Your way. Amen. Amen.